Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the lesson just read from Acts chapter 2. Luke records that from the cross, Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Well, did he? Did God the Father forgive them? Yes, God the Father did answer the prayer of Jesus. We know this because Luke wrote a second volume, the Acts of the Apostles. 50 days after Passover, Peter preached to those very same Jerusalemites, and he accused them. "This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up." The hearers were cut to the quick. "What shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus the Messiah, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." 3,000 received the word and were baptized. Jesus the Messiah won forgiveness for his enemies by undergoing death on a Roman crucifixion. That forgiveness now the risen Lord delivered to his enemies 50 days later through holy baptism. That story of Jerusalem in 30 AD is basically our story as well. By virtue of what we call original sin, we too were enemies of the God of Israel and enemies of his Messiah. Yet while we were still enemies, Christ died for us. God the Father answered his prayer for us as well. We too were baptized in his name and given the remission of our sins. We acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. Through that gift of baptism, the risen Lord extended Pentecost to us and gave us his Holy Spirit. As Peter says, we were saved from this crooked generation. But saved to what? To be autonomous individuals, each doing his own thing? Is that the Christian life? Many American Christians think of it that way. Christianity is about me, myself, and I, and Jesus. I invited Jesus into my heart and accepted him as my personal Lord and Savior. Many American Christians have drunk deeply from the well of individual autonomy. They think of Christianity as me and Jesus. Jesus the Messiah was crucified for his enemies and raised on the third day. God exalted him as Messiah and Lord. This risen and exalted Lord poured out his Holy Spirit in order to create his church. Those who were baptized in his name were baptized into his church. What does it mean to be church? As Americans drive by a church and look at the sign, what do they think? We Americans inevitably filter it through the lens of the marketplace. The passengers just drove by a car dealership and a restaurant, then a church, then a Walmart and a drugstore. What is that place called church? Well, it must be just like those other businesses we just drove by. It must be a provider of religious goods and services. If you want to get some religion, go there. Some churches even act that way. The preacher is really a motivational speaker teaching you principles of self-help, 10 tips on how to raise a strong-willed child. Well, the book of Proverbs is in the Bible. The Lord does care about how we raise our children. But the book of Proverbs is not the only book in the Bible. What does it mean to be church in America today? The church is not a group of autonomous individuals who decided to come together and listen to some speeches. The church is the people of God who no longer belong to themselves. They belong to the Lord and they belong to each other. What does it actually look like to be God's church? We can learn something from Acts chapter 2. Luke, the historian, considered this church in Jerusalem significant. This was, after all, the mother church of all those other churches he mentions in Acts. It is our mother church as well. Our mother church is not Wittenberg. Our mother church is not Rome. Our mother church is this church in Jerusalem. What did that church look like? Luke tells us they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. You all know that the Pope is visiting Washington, D.C. and New York City. The Pope is a celebrity and receives a lot of media attention. Benedict is a very significant and thoughtful theologian, well worth reading. But he is not the successor of Peter. He is not Peter among us. The Apostle Peter and those other apostles were unique first century figures. The church of all ages is built on those first century apostles, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Our mother church in Jerusalem and all subsequent churches are called to devote themselves to the teaching of those first century apostles. This teaching that proclaimed that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, who was crucified and raised and exalted in fulfillment of Moses and the prophets. This teaching that creates the Lord's church and sustains the Lord's church. We belong to the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. Our mother church in Jerusalem devoted themselves, Luke says, to the fellowship, the sharing of common things. These common things included, of course, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one God and Father, one Spirit. Yet these common things also included their financial and property possessions, which they freely and willingly shared. Luke records that they distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. They were very generous in showing concrete mercy to the needy. Someone once quipped, "I like Jesus. It's the church I could do without." Well, churches have been known to beat up on people. But the Lord's church is the Lord's community, where his Spirit leads them to bear one another's burdens, to belong to the Lord by faith, and to belong to each other by love. Our mother church in Jerusalem, it says, devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. They broke bread in their homes, receiving their food with glad and generous hearts. They also celebrated the Lord's Supper as Jesus had instituted it. It really is amazing when you think about it. On the very night when he was betrayed, the very night when he was arrested, he instituted this most wonderful gift of Holy Communion. Our mother church in Jerusalem devoted themselves to the prayers, intercessory prayers for others, prayers of thanksgiving for their gifts, worship. Prayer and worship characterized their life together. Luke records that they had a good reputation with all of Jerusalem. They were not some parochial, provincial, isolated little sect. These Christians were out in the marketplace. They were known and respected. It's rather difficult to do outreach if the church or the church body has a lousy reputation. But this early church in Jerusalem had a good reputation with outsiders. Finally, Luke notes that the risen Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. The Lord does not only save people, he adds them to his church. The Lord can do it. He wills that all would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Is it possible for the church to look like that in North America today? Humanly speaking, no way. In so many ways, American churches are dysfunctional. But the risen Lord Jesus is the Lord of the church. He can change things. He can change the future. After all, think about that first church in Jerusalem. These were the people that had Jesus crucified. Not exactly good prospects there. And what about those apostles? Well, Peter denied Jesus. The other apostles fled when Jesus was arrested. They split. We're out of here. And yet, the risen Lord appeared to them after his resurrection, like a good shepherd, gathered them to himself, poured out his Spirit upon them, and made them into his faithful and bold church. There is no need for despair. The Lord Jesus, the risen Messiah, can change things. with his word and spirit, go out as future pastors, as future deaconesses, and reach sinners, all kinds of sinners. Free them from the stale air of individual autonomy, from slavery to themselves. Bring them into the fresh air of the Lord's church, where they belong to the Lord and to each other, where they can discover the joy of bearing one another's burdens, the joy of devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, the joy of the sharing and being merciful to the needy, the joy of the breaking of bread, the joy of prayer and praise and worship. O Lord Jesus, our darkling cry, our meddling sound have all but drowned that song that once made every echo ring. Take up again, O take the trumpet, none can silence or mistake, and blow once more for us and all the world to hear, living and clear. The feast is ready, come to the feast. The good and the bad, come and be glad. Greatest and least, come to the feast. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.